Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny. Let's get started. Okay, everybody, here for another episode of the Third Realm Integration Podcast. Today we are rounding out the final fourth survival archetype, as I've been covering in the most recent episodes. And today, my friends, today we have the prostitute. Here's the deal with the prostitute archetype. Not only do we all have them as human beings, as they are a core feature of the four survival archetypes, but in the Western world, this archetype is one that is quite obvious, can be easily spotted, and is a core primary component of our Western society. It is one that everybody has, just like everybody has the rest of the survival ones, but this one really kind of comes to the forefront. And here's the easiest way to think about the prostitute archetype. I'll just start with an example, and then I'll break down the elements of it. Think about how many people you know, and you may include yourself in this category, that compromise their values and their faith, where they sell out their power in exchange for a secondary gain. And a perfect example of this is a job that we might be working that might be wreaking havoc on us spiritually, emotionally, and psychologically, and energetically, but we stay because of the pay. We stay because there's a convenience factor relative to the job. Maybe you have a pretty good schedule and you don't want to give that up. And so you'll hear people say often, you know, it's like this job, I don't really know if I like this job, or I don't really know if this is really, if I'm really getting all the benefits out of it, but it's right near my house. I don't have to drive far. Or it pays well. And I got to stay because I have kids to take care of and I have bills to pay. Or it's just I get time off, you know, like I get a pretty good time off package, PTO package. Meanwhile, you're sacrificing some huge element of yourself in exchange for that reward. And so what the prostitute archetype brings in is every single one of our capacities to sacrifice our integrity. It's a negotiation of integrity for financial and physical survival. So just like the other survival archetypes, when your survival is threatened, your ability to pay your bills, financially afford your lifestyle, put food on the table, pay rent, cover your mortgage, make your car payment, pay your cell phone. And you get an opportunity to acquire those resources, you're more likely to agree to do that, even if you have to sacrifice your integrity or some other aspect of yourself that you think is important, like your well-being, your overall mental health, your self-esteem, your self-respect. You might even sell your ideas, your talents, your time, and your energy in exchange for something. Some people come up with great ideas, they develop a product, and then they sell it to a company that doesn't align with their values, but it's payday. It happens a lot in South Carolina where this gets tested. There's a big lawsuit going on Hilton Head. And it's been in the news, actually, because some NBA players have donated money to support this woman's legal fees. And actually, it's funny because I know her, like an old neighbor of mine in Massachusetts is of this family. So this must be his like grandmother, great grandmother, where the big corporation is trying to come in and buy out her land. And some, I don't know what's going on in court, the some way in which this is now gone before a judge, but her land is basically sacred land. It's land from the Civil War. And I don't know what kind of history it has as far as slavery in South Carolina that she's trying to protect. And she's not giving in. So she's challenging her inner prostitute because she's not selling out. And a lot of times you've seen this in, you know, maybe suburban areas or city areas where the big corporations will come in and buy out the mom and pop shop. And a big corporation will come in. Or maybe there's a piece of land that's been in the family for decades or even centuries. And the family's held on to it until one day they get that price tag offered and they're willing to sell out. So the questions for the prostitute archetype are, can you be bought and at what price tag? At what cost is it to you to do the thing that you're doing in exchange for the secondary gain? It's usually money. And so the question comes down to is, what's it worth to you? What's it worth to you? What's it worth to you? Whatever it is. What's your mental health worth to you? Your time, your energy, your overall well-being, your self-respect? And how often are we trading that in exchange for something that we think we need? Because sometimes we don't need as much money as we think we do. Sometimes we'll do just fine. It's a construct of the egoic mind rooted in fear for us to think that we need more than what we actually need. And a lot of times there's a difference there between our wants and our needs. Sometimes our needs are real basic. We don't need all that extra. We want it. And we're attached to it in some way. So the prostitute is the guardian of faith. What is your faith? What is your belief system? What do you value most in your life? And are you willing to negotiate it away for a price tag and a paycheck? Here's the huge piece, which is why the term prostitute, when you hear that word, when you hear the word prostitute, you obviously have an initial thought that comes to mind as to what a prostitute is. And it really, that's what this is about. It is about the seduction. How have you been seduced into buying into something that has totally warped your mind? That has totally put the veil over your eyes, put the wool over your eyes, and now your mind has totally been corrupted. There's some drive that got activated when you got the offer for the thing, in which you lost sight of what your integrity is and what your value of self-respect and self-esteem is. And so if you don't have high self-esteem, if you have low self-esteem, and you have trouble with self-respect, you're much more likely to be seduced. And that is the hook. And so we always have to ask ourselves when we get into situations where we're kind of like, it's not an ideal situation, but I'm going to go for it because I get all of this other stuff in return. Then it kind of goes on for a little bit. And then you're like, I can't take this anymore. You know, I can't be at this job anymore. I can't be in this relationship anymore. I can't do this anymore. You have to always have to ask yourself, and this is what it comes down to when I always come back to this point about taking 100% self-responsibility. You always have to ask yourself, what hooked you into the situation to begin with? Because whatever hooked you into the situation to begin with, if you unpack that patterning, you will find the reason why you're leaving. So the reason why you leave is connected to why you got into the situation in the first place and why you made the agreement. So when we move along this path of personal empowerment, we will always encounter someone who will want to buy a piece of you to make themselves more powerful and you less powerful. And it might not always be that they want to make you less powerful. They just want to make themselves more powerful. But you become less powerful in return because you've sacrificed some aspect of yourself that's meaningful to you. And even when I've watched, I was talking about the documentary with that young rapper dude, XXXTentacion. And In the music industry, whenever you watch these documentaries and you see how the story unfolds, there's a huge aspect of seduction there that the artist is like, yeah, I want to make it to the top. This is my chance. I'm going to sign with this record deal. They're going to pay me this money. I have a future here. This is kind of like, you know, job security. And they literally sell their soul out and they're owned by that record label, which is the reason why you see a lot of independent artists now. People that want to maintain their independence. They don't want to sign with the label because they don't want to be owned. So you're seeing the ways in which the prostitute archetype is getting challenged in a lot of different ways in our society. We still have it as a core feature because everybody's trying to work for the dollar in this country, and that always seems to be like number one most important to majority of people. But I always just dig it when I see people when they're just like, you know what? Like even in the XXXTentacion documentary, he signed with a record label that paid him, what, I think $200,000 for like two songs. And the dude, well, for that record label, when he got the call from the kid, and the kid was like, yeah, I want to sign with you. And he was like, I just got to ask you, why do you want to sign with me? When that other record label was willing to give you like 1.5 mil and like do a whole album for you. And the kid was like, because if I signed with them, they would have owned me. He was like, and with you, I have much more independence and I get to maintain my freedom. That's why I'm going to do it. So he was willing to take a lesser paycheck and only get two songs done and have no security beyond that, whether or not anything was going to go anywhere. And he was willing to do that because he didn't sell himself out. He did not fall into the prostitute archetype. He was acquainted with the prostitute archetype because he got challenged with it and the test came up, but he chose the lighter side. He didn't get seduced into the shadow. And that's a powerful choice point right there, to have the little carrot dangled right in front of you and you're like, nah, I don't need to be seduced by that. Why? Because I've probably been there before and I probably can spot this coming from a mile away. So this is just a huge one. It's an absolute huge one. And we all have it to some degree. Some of us have it more than others. And some people might actually act out the prostitute in their real life. I mean, they actually might be making a living selling their body as a prostitute on the street or as a high paid escort. And in return, they're getting the money that they want. And maybe some of it is money that they need. And so think about just the essence of the extreme example of that, how subtle it can play out in everybody else's everyday lives. So I'm going to read a quote right here from Carolyn Mace that talks about this archetype. She says, it's a lesson in integrity in the sale of negotiation of one's integrity or spirit due to fears of physical and financial survival or for financial gain. This archetype activates the aspects of the unconscious that are related to seduction and control. Huge. So you get seduced into the dreamscape, the illusion of thinking that now you have more control because you have more money and actually you lose a lot of control. And then there's this other side where it's like, well, I still have control over my schedule. I still have control as to how far I'm traveling for work. And I'm making this money. So it's an illusion. You think you're in control, but you just sold your soul to the devil. And so, you know, I think when you get tested on a regular basis and you're on this path of spiritual development and you finally get to a place where you're kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired and you just cannot physically take, and I'll just stick with the job example, but you physically cannot take that job because you've done it before and it has burned you out. And you just cannot go back there again, you're much more likely to be able to resist the shadow side of this prostitute archetype. I remember when I worked in the restaurant industry and I saw how single working mothers got exploited by that industry. The managers loved hiring single working mothers. Why? Because those mothers had to show up for work. They couldn't do with what us millennials would do, would just be like, nah, we don't feel like going to work today. We're going to call out. No, they were reliable. They were dependable. And it's because that industry plays on the vulnerability of single working mothers and people who are desperate. So when you're desperate, you got to watch out. You come from a place of desperation, you're incredibly vulnerable to the seduction of this archetype. So it's so incredibly pervasive in this society. And sometimes we'll even, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a financial gain. Sometimes it could just be, you know, validation that we're looking for. I mean, this is where kind of the archetypes really kind of meld into each other in this fluid kind of way, because you can see how easily connected the victim and the prostitute are also. You might, you know, sell out your integrity and play up the victim so you can get validation from others in return. And so they can work in tandem. And then the prostitute and the saboteur work beautifully together, because you are in the process of self-sabotaging yourself if you are willing to negotiate away your values in exchange for financial gain or some other gain. I wrote in a blog post, you get those two in the room and it's a Bonnie and Clyde pair. All bets are off, because they just mirror each other and they complement each other. And they activate each other. And they intensify when they are working in tandem. So that word seduction is powerful, because a lot of times we're seduced by things and we don't even know it. We might be seduced into a relationship because maybe we want a family. Maybe we, you know, there are some times where I'll work with folks and they want kids so bad that they are willing to overlook red flag after red flag after red flag in a relationship because they want kids. And then they get stuck. So that's the seduction. That's the hook. How did you get drawn in the first place? And, you know, here's the important part about this. Even if you get drawn into a situation and you got hooked in and you got seduced, doesn't mean you have to stay there. As soon as you get the wake up where it's like, oh yeah, I got sucked into this one, you can leave. You can get out. Just because you didn't see it up front doesn't mean you have to continue staying in that situation, even though you woke up, maybe you were a little late to the game. That right there is the sabotage part also, because you're getting the wake up call and now you're abandoning yourself. You're abandoning and you're betraying your own intuition that says, like, you can't stay here. You got to get out. You got to leave. It doesn't matter. You'll figure it out. But fear is always going to keep people stuck. Well, like, I can't make that much money somewhere else. Or, you know, I don't work well with people, so I'm going to stay at this place because this place tolerates my crap. Like, I've seen that a million times, where people are just poor workers. Poor employees, they're like fair at best, and they know nobody else is going to tolerate their crap the way that this company or this boss does. So they're not going to leave. Even though they're getting treated like crap, and even though the boss or the company is enabling their bad behavior, like constantly showing up late to work, not doing notes, not doing their work, everyone else has got to pick up the slack. And so they get away with sort of like the laziness because they're being enabled when they're definitely not meeting their highest potential. So now they're sacrificing their highest potential for comfort and security. And who benefits in the end, especially in that situation? The whole team suffers. The individual person suffers. Like, that's a lose-lose on that one. At least if you're making a ton of money doing something that is, like, you know, totally destroying your soul. I mean, that's at least reasonable. But when the enabling stuff starts to happen, that's like a double whammy on the prostitute archetype. So this is a test. This one's a test. And the reason why faith is such a big piece of it is because in order to absolve yourself of fear, you must have faith that everything's going to work out. You got to trust that there is a bigger plan for you, and that there's a cosmic order up there that is aligned with the soul contract that you signed coming into this world. And that if you let go and you really come into that, the essence of that space, that emptiness, and you don't just move from stimulus to response, the thing happened, and now you're responding immediately, and you really try to create space between the two, that's where you'll start to find faith. And that's when you'll start to find grace, because that's when the higher realm starts working through you. Ram Dass said, Well, I actually, that is not true. Ram Dass did not say this. My teacher told Ram Dass this statement. And Ram Dass told her that he was going to go on and use this statement. So this is a Melissa Low statement. This is actually not a Ram Dass statement. It happened at a Ram Dass conference. Faith is your relationship with God. Grace is God's relationship with you. That grace cannot enter your heart and your soul if there's no space and there's no room for it. So when we have fear, we're going to come out of these knee-jerk reaction type places. It's like, oh my God, no, now I need to go get a job, like immediately. And I need to leave this one, and I need to go to that one, and I need to do this. And I need to, it's like, you know, slow it down. Trust that everything's going to be okay and that there's something else working with us also. It's not just us cultivating our own path as the you know, Lone Ranger. We're not in this alone. We think we are. And so we put on this all this pressure on ourselves to like not embrace that space. But that's not true. And when we come out of that place of thinking we are the Lone Ranger of our own lives, like we're the only one driving this boat, and the only way we're going to achieve success is if we physically create it, there's no room for grace. How can you hear what the Supreme is saying to you and how it is speaking through you if there's no space for it? There's no room for it. So you start getting clear about what your prostitute archetype is, and you will embrace this experience of faith and grace. And then you'll start to live from a more empowered place. But people's fear is what's going to keep them tied to a job that pays their bills, even though their health is getting destroyed from it, their well-being is getting corrupted. And so it really all does, at the end of the day, come down to how you work with moving through your fear and just letting go and trusting. And you have to trust. So if you're somebody that has a really difficult time with faith, you got to ask yourself, how trusting am I? Do I trust people? Do I trust myself? And if not, that's where you start going to do the deeper work. What's that about? How have you lived your life up until this point where you somehow have this evidence that proves to you that you can't trust yourself? Because that's usually where it comes from. It's like, I can't trust myself because I've never been able to trust myself before. I literally have the evidence to prove that I can't trust myself. So if that's the case, well, you got to start challenging yourself in that way and giving yourself the opportunity to start making better decisions. Now you start building the evidence that says you can trust yourself. And then sometimes people don't trust themselves or trust other people because it's, you know, some sort of irrational fear. They really don't have any evidence to support it. And that's a little bit different. That's a thinking trap that you can kind of shift yourself out of if you do some work on that. But sometimes there is real life evidence. It's like, yeah, I can't trust myself. Cannot trust myself. And it's like, So that means you're really deep into the sabotage pattern. You're really walking the saboteur. So all of these archetypes play together in exponential ways. It gets magnified. It gets multiplied when they all start working together. And the four of these, the child, the prostitute, the saboteur, and the victim, they really all do play off of each other. It's a symphony. It's an orchestra that's getting played out in your life. And the higher side of all of these archetypes is being able to spot the shadow side of them. Being able to spot when you're getting seduced. Being able to spot when you're fearful of your own personal power and the saboteur. And you're about ready to sabotage. Being able to spot when you feel like you're about to slip into that victim and do the blame, complain, and project it all out onto everybody else. And hand away your power that way. And then be able to spot when your inner child is speaking, not your adult. And you're coming from that place of the wound, that woundology. I'm speaking from my wound when I'm in the child. For the most part, at least the wounded child. But yeah, I mean, that's the light side of all of these, is that it gives you a new pair of glasses to see when it's about to get activated. And then sometimes the way it begins is we actually fall into the shadow side of the archetype, then we spot it. And that's why I'm saying, just because you didn't catch it up front and you got yourself into a little bit of a situation, doesn't mean you should stay there. Because what happens is the timeline starts to move up more gradually, the more you become aware of this stuff. So you might not have seen it up front. You got yourself into a situation. One of these archetypes gets activated. Now you notice it. Maybe a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year later. Now you spot it. Now you make a change. Now next time might only be 6 months as opposed to a year. You might catch it sooner. You might catch it 6 months in as opposed to a year. Then you move that timeline up a little bit more because you made the change when you spotted it. Now you're a little bit closer. Now you're only in that situation for a month or two. And then you're like, oh, here it is. Now next time, you're going to spot it before you even get into that situation. So you got to think about it like a hierarchy and you got to start somewhere. And that's why you can't beat yourself up once you spot it. It's like, oh no, how did I get into this situation again? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you got into the situation again because you got in. And what happened was a survival archetype took over. That's no excuse to stay in the suffering. So now you move it up, you move it up, you move it up. Every time you make the change, after you spot it, you're moving it up. Eventually you get closer to the beginning of when the event is about to happen. And maybe you even notice it in real time. Maybe somebody comes to you with a job offer and you're noticing it in the conversation that you're having with them, that something's starting to erupt. And then you start to say, you know what, let me get back to you on that. Let me think about it. Because you're still not even sure how to handle it in the moment. So then you give yourself that space. Now, next time you see it coming from a mile away and you don't even engage it because you're not even drawing it in. You're not attracted to it. There's no part of your unconscious mind that's communicating with that other person's unconscious mind who's trying to hook you. And then you start to build your soul's stamina. And that's what this is all about. How is your soul able to build stamina in this physical lifetime? And it's going to get tested over and over and over. And actually, the deeper you go into your personal empowerment journey, the more you're going to be tested. It's just that it starts to get easier because now you know how to handle it. So that's what it is. That's the prostitute. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got one. The question is to what degree is your prostitute running your life? And what are you willing to do to make the changes necessary to serve your highest good and stop selling out? It's like that term. Like, people say that term. It's like, oh, he's a sellout. She's a sellout. Yeah, that's the prostitute archetype right there. Anytime you see that, say that, hear that, experience that, see it in other people, that's the archetype that's at play. So, that's what it is, everybody. That's what it is. And that's it. There's really nothing more to say about it. So, I'm going to sign off here, leave you guys to it. Let you do a little self-reflection on that one. And I think I'll be back next week, maybe, for a fairy tale story hour, and then back in September. So, keep it real, you guys. It has been a pleasure spending this evening with you, as always. And may the light always lead your way. Be well, everybody.
Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and or entertainment only and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor.
Turn your wounds into wisdom. and your stumbling blocks into stepping stones. A quote by Robin Sharma.